welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Syke.
Well, good afternoon. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
I was listening to our intro.
Yes.
Which we've heard thousands of times at this point.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was thinking, the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. I'll bet this week it does.
It's not. You don't have to look far. Yeah, you don't have to look far.
No, this was a roller coaster of a week, and we're going to get around to talking about various aspects of it. But you are listening to the Investor Resources Live radio program. So if you have concerns about what happened to your portfolio this week and you want another opinion, you can give us a call. The magic number to get in line is 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Live call-in means we'll actually talk to you. This isn't pre-recorded. We don't know what's going to happen. Now, we have an outline, but anything can happen if you guys pick up the phone. Some of you pick up the phone and give us a call. We are standing by to talk with you. And just to remind you, next Saturday is the first Saturday of the month, and that's our stock market update webinar, 9 o'clock next Saturday morning. That's May 7th. You want to register for that. There's no telling what's going to happen this week in the market. And as we say, have said before, we don't know what the webinar is going to have until usually late Friday night, sometime early Saturday morning. That's when we do the final update.
Get it finished up.
So we certainly have a lot of volatility in the market to leave things in a state of flux getting ready for next week's webinar. So register at IRIRadio.com. That's IRIRadio.com. Lower left-hand corner of the website says webinar. Couple of clicks, your email and your name, and you'll set. If you cannot attend and you have registered, you will get a replay link. So you can watch it on your own time and educate your friends and family. You can share the link with them. Well, yeah, we can share your link. We think that they're logging in as you, but whatever. We're glad to have as many people get smarter about what's going on in the market instead of continuing to be brainwashed with Wall Street's pablum about long-term investing.
And they don't ever stop. They don't ever change their tune. It's always the same thing. Ignore everything. Everything will be fine eventually. Just leave it alone. And no matter how much you lose, just leave everything static. It really doesn't make much sense.
So you want to talk to us today? That number again is 800-465-8770. And I am fairly certain that I'd win a fairly substantial bet that there's not very likely to be anybody out there who's familiar with the name of John Authors, primarily because he's a Brit. So he's not even here in the United States, but he's a voracious financial commentator. He writes in lengthy analysis in Bloomberg every day, which I read almost all of his stuff. Every now and then, it's not stuff that really affects what we're doing. However, back in 08, one of the things that happened in the media was as the market had crashed, the financial press, the media, starts interviewing money managers. Some of them you know, some of them you don't. Some of the companies are, you know, it doesn't matter. But they're all saying, well, if only you had done this back then. And in that environment, John Authors created a fictitious firm, a management company called Hindsight Capital. We've referred to that before,
and we're going to it's a great concept. Yeah,
we're going to revisit hindsight capital, because one of the advantages of entrusting your money to hindsight capital is you have a tremendous track record of above average returns, spectacular long-term capital gains, and you never have a drawdown. That's on everybody's wish list.
But only happens, of course, in hindsight. Never going forward, it's always looking back, but that's where all their advice comes from.
Well, which is exactly the way most people build their portfolios.
That's not, it, sure.
Not that they're intentionally doing it, but they're talking to a financial advisor, or they're on a website looking for some help, and they end up in a portfolio which is structured off of a 1952 academic paper that the author of which has said repeatedly, the financial services industry misuses my research. And when he retired, said, I would never do that to manage money.
Not with mine. My money. I wouldn't do that with my money. So,
but fear not, if you have a portfolio that's kind of balanced between stocks and bonds, that's what you got.
That's it.
That's where you are. And hindsight capital. Sends out his employees after every market drop to speak to the press with their wit and wisdom, explain precisely what you did wrong and what you should have done. You should have known.
That's their main message. If you'd only done this, look at how much more money you would have made if you'd only done this. Of course, they didn't do it either, but looking back, it's easy to pick it out and say, well, look at this opportunity that everyone missed. But they're never going to tell you that in advance, just looking backwards.
Yeah, so when I start my morning research, I'm in front of the computer at 4:15 every day the market's open. And I turn on Fox Business, and so that hour of the morning, it's Maria Bartiromo. And she interviews a lot of these managers. I kind of have it going on in the background, so I don't feel like I'm alone.
The only person on earth.
Yeah. And one of the things that they say, well, what do we do now? What are we supposed to do now? Well, you should be in value stocks. You shouldn't be owning tech when tech is collapsing the way it is. I'm a dummy. Well, they don't say that, but that's the implication.
That's the inference, sure, yeah.
But one thing they never ask is, okay, Mr. John Manager, just exactly when did you sell your tech stocks in this dump? And they never ask that question. When did you buy your value stocks that are outperforming the S&P?
Yeah. And by the way, what value stocks were those? What did you buy? What was your purchase after you sold all that tech stuff right away? What would you buy? Never going to hear that question. Never going to hear an answer, even if it got asked.
The odds on that are really slim. If you want to talk to us today, we still have an open line. It's 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. Register for next Saturday's Stock Market Update webinar. You get to watch this from the convenience of your home, sitting in your pajamas with a cup of coffee and a donut or whatever else you're going to chew. Maybe it's a croissant, but I don't care. You can sit back, relax, and get smarter about the market. So one of the things that happens with this is they often say, well, you never really know when you should be in value or growth. You should just own both of them all the time so that one offsets the other. Except for when they don't, like now.
Right now, yeah.
And so knowing that that's a question that often comes up, I went back and looked at my charts. We don't know what the forecast is. We don't know what's going to happen next week, next month, or next year. We never do. Nobody else does either. I mean, if they say they do,
we don't pretend we know, yeah.
Yeah. But one thing we do know is when things change. When what has been is no longer. And so given this growth value issue, just as an example, I pulled up my chart. And so my end of week risk analysis and my Tuesday webinars where I train advisors, I told them back in the beginning of November, there's a change going on here. growth is losing its momentum and values beginning to be a better place to be. Now, we don't know if this will continue or not, but by the time we got to December, it was pretty clear that there had been a change in the market. So when somebody tells you, or that what the words they use are, well, you can't time the market. Well, we don't time the market either.
Ever. Right.
But we pay attention to changes in the market. And when you own something that is now attracting more sellers than buyers, guess what happens to the price? So why do you want to hang around and see how many sellers are going to come to your party and how long that party is going to continue dumping what you own? Well, the standard pablum is it won't matter. You just own both of them. You own U.S. and you own international. You own Europe and you own emerging markets. They both in the tank, but what difference does that make? Eventually, they're going to get okay.
And that's the key right there, Don. Yeah, well, like you said, even if they're both in the tank, it doesn't matter. The process says, their process says, we're going to own both of them, and we're going to own them no matter what. So if they're doing great damage to your return, great damage to the value of your portfolio, it doesn't matter. Nothing's going to change, and that's the process. The process is we're just going to wait until it turns around, and that's because it's so much easier for the firm. It's so much safer for the firm that handed out that pie chart. That doesn't mean it's good for you, and that's almost always the case.
Well, and you bring up the issue of process.
Yeah.
Process is what's important because you don't know what the future is going to hold.
Ever,
but,
right.
But why on earth should you assume that what was working 30 years ago is going to work, well, maybe in the next 30 years. That's your investment horizon, and you're not going to read your quarterly report for 30 years and assume it's going to work. That's not reality.
No, people are going to read their report,
yeah. And you know, if it's not quarterly, it's monthly, but they're going to read the report, and if it's not working, they want to know why. But the standard industry pablum, brainwashing is, well, it's buy and hold. You just can't time the market. We're going to let the money managers at your mutual fund time the market.
Well, and we're just going to sit back and watch. And that's what they do. Their job is to keep you invested. Their job is to keep you on the phone and convince you to not move your money because they're paid salespeople. That's their job. And as long as you understand that, it's a little easier to understand what it is they're doing. Instead of taking care of your portfolio, they're trying to make sure you're buying other stuff. They may even, let's sell you something new then. If this isn't working, here's something else to buy. But they're never going to say, you know what, we should probably just step aside, get out of the way of this train wreck for a little while and watch the damage go by without joining in. But you're never going to hear that. And we are right up against our first break of the afternoon here. We should go ahead and get out here. I'd like to remind everyone that next Saturday, May 7th, 9 a.m. is our next stock market update. You can register for that by going to irradio.com. That's irradio.com. Just head to the webinar page and give that registration link a click. And next Saturday, well, actually right away, you're going to get an email back with a link in it. And next Saturday morning, you click that link, you will be live on the online with us. You'll be able to see our charts, understand what we're looking at. And we always have plenty of time to answer your questions. So if you have questions about the market or the economy or even specific holdings that are in your portfolio, that's a really good time to get a second opinion and get some clarity about what should be in there. So again, you can register for that by going to irradio.com. If you have a question for us this afternoon, we'd love to talk to you. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back. Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this. Mama said. Mama said. Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this. Mama,
well, Friday was certainly one of those days, and I don't remember Mama ever telling me, but that song is appropriate.
It is.
I mean, just quickly, I mean, on Friday, stocks really fell. It ended up one of the weakest months in recent memory. The NASDAQ lost 13%. It's the worst month since 2008. The S&P's down almost 9. The Dow's almost a -5. It's the weakest month in 2 years. And when we turn around and look at what's really going on, it's pretty widespread. Defensive consumer staples were the only sector to gain ground, and it was pretty weak. Energy, utilities, materials, real estate, and healthcare are considered defensive issues, and they... Now, this was important. They held up fairly well, which means, well, you didn't lose your shirt.
A little less. Yeah, that was the good news. Yeah.
The biggest losers were, and these are really important, because our economy sits on a three-legged stool of consumer discretionary, -16%. Technology, -13%. Financials, -12%. And, oh, by the way, industrials, -9%. But I was looking at some of the, we break these things down in components. The New York Stock Exchange has a FANG index.
Mm-hmm.
FANG stocks, you know, those are big, your Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Nvidia, all, you know, all the Google. And year to date, so 4 months worth of performance on these stocks that virtually everybody loves, minus 27.9%.
How about that? You know, that group just, 6 months ago, that was a group of stocks you could not own. You had to have them, or you had no returns, and it's been that way for a few years, and now all of a sudden, boy, oh boy, did things change. Like we say, the market changes substantially, and it changes very quickly.
Well, and if you've been listening to us for any length of time, you know that we have been saying that underneath the index, the market has not been healthy. Stocks have been falling. They've been looking for their lows. Then they bounce around, and that's where you get the interviews on TV saying, well, you should own this because this is a bargain, and 5 years from now, you're going to be celebrating.
Right.
Well, okay. Well, emerging markets, we've been waiting since 2011. To be celebrating. Now, it did have a rally recently, but it's given up an awful lot of that. Emerging markets, and when the dollar gets really strong, it's bad for international stocks as a general rule. There are some exceptions right now in the marketplace because some individual central bankers in these foreign countries have been a lot more responsible than most of the rest of the world. And their foreign markets, investing in them, has actually provided some decent opportunity and positive returns. But as a general rule of thumb, a strong dollar, which we have because the Fed is raising rates and promised to do more of it, makes international investing less profitable, if
much
not
more difficult.
A losing proposition.
Yep. You got to be very careful, and you can never do anything based on a generality, especially a generality like you should always have some emerging markets in your portfolio. It really makes no sense. If for a decade it's been a losing proposition, there is no reason for that to be in your portfolio other than that's the process of whoever gave it to you. And it's really time to take a strong look at what's in your portfolio, why is it there, and if it's been underperforming and now it's cratering, why is it still there? And that's a fair question to ask your broker.
And if you want a free analysis of what you own and what the prospects, well, we don't know what the prospects look like, but we can tell you what the current conditions are and how healthy they are.
Right.
You can send us an email with a list of your tickers or give us a call. The email is help@iriradio.com. The phone number is 800-317-9119. If you want to talk to us today, it's 800-465-8770. So the good news is that stocks are getting less expensive. The bad news is it's because prices are collapsing. So and with some of that, I mean, there's some good news and bad news in the sales department as far as companies are concerned. In order to be profitable, they have to sell stuff for more than it costs them to get the product to market. So there's one of the ratios is the price to sales ratio of the average stock in the Russell 1000 is actually back to pre-COVID levels, down basically one third from its high. But it's not the cheap stocks that are bringing down the average. It's the expensive stocks, the brand names that everybody loves. And you had to own it. I mean, we have had clients who said, well, I can't sell that. Now, I would never sell Apple.
That's always one of those things that we hear where we know, well, this is not going to end well, because it doesn't matter what the stock is. It really doesn't matter. Every company out there goes through cycles that are really great and then others that are not so great. And like you said, Don, right now, it's not the cheap stocks that are killing everything. It's the previous big winners that are now giving up all those gains and really dragging the averages down. And there's no reason to stand in the way of that and pretend that, well, no, it's going to be okay soon. No one knows that. No one can know that. And so, we say stop the bleeding, take care of your portfolio, and be ready when things turn around and watch those prices and see where that strength comes back in. Because right now, there's not much in the way of strength anywhere right now.
Well, Apple's actually done fairly well. It's only down 13.6% so far this year.
Yay!
And with they had pretty decent quarterly numbers, except they're saying, we're in trouble. This isn't going to keep up. Sales on the iPhone are going to be off by 8 million shares, sales. The CEO's forecast was not pretty. So,
and a lot of that's not in their control. Like they said, one of their biggest problems is their supply chain issues. So it's other companies that they do business with. It's going to be really tough for them to have any influence over that. Apple tries to keep a very, very tight rein on their supply line, but they have not been able to keep it intact, and they're not going to be able to keep it intact.
Well, they also do a lot of business in China.
Yes.
And China still has a COVID zero policy. They've shut down the entire region of Shanghai, and I don't know that its decision is made yet, but this last week the news was it looks like Beijing was going to be shut down also. And that has messed with employment. That when people are locked in their apartments and the police put a tape, like a crime scene tape, on the outside of the apartment door to know if they have slipped outside. They are being locked down in their condos, apartments, and houses to be sure that they don't spread COVID around, which means they run out of food and they run out of medication. I mean, if you've seen any of the videos online, it's a terrible situation. Well, if they can't get out, it means they also can't buy iPhones. And that's just not, it's not happening. If they did it online, nobody can deliver it. You can't open the door to receive a delivery.
That's bad for business, yeah.
So what's happening is that China, the second largest economy in the world next to us, instead of expecting to have almost a 6% growth rate is now looking at maybe a 1%. And that has ripple effect through the rest of the world. So when you hear somebody talking about recession, that we don't know that we're having one yet, but when you see things like that happening, it certainly increases the probability.
It does.
When is another question.
Yep.
You
don't know, but you can see the things occurring around the world that are saying this is a recession signal, so we'll see if or when it shows up here. It's just a matter of paying attention.
When we look at these big names of technology that are collapsing right now, while the companies aren't collapsing, maybe a couple of them have some pretty big problems. But be that as it may, these companies have been around for 20, 30 years. They started out as startups. Somebody had an idea. Bill Gates, in his dad's garage, came up with DOS, and it turned into Microsoft. Multi-billion dollars. Not bad. Okay, but you think about this. That's a 30-year-old industry, company. It's really tough to set a new innovation standard that's going to make the company so unique going forward. What happens at this point in time in the business cycle is these companies have matured. They have massive market dominance. The young startup companies with the new ideas and the new industry that's in development, particularly in the financial world, cryptos for one, but it's more than just cryptos. It's blockchain. It's the way banks do business. It's the way business is going to operate.
It really is, yeah.
And there's a lot of competition right now for new technology. And one of the ladies who's well known for managing those new concepts is Kathy Woods with the ARK ETF family.
Correct.
And last year, well, I don't know what her return was last year, but during 2020, talk about a stellar performance. I mean, she got kudos all around the financial world. However, lately, when you are that right and things go against you, they are that wrong. I mean, she's her innovation fund is off somewhere around 65% from the high, might be 70. Well, she's one of those people who's saying, I have these companies that I've identified that 5 years from now, they are going to be dominant leaders. They are going to kick the legs out from underneath the stools of the companies that we take for granted as masters of their universe today. That's going to change the world as we know it, starting, we see it in the investment arena. And you may too, if you're doing business online, because a lot of what you do online is being run by basically computerized robots.
Absolutely. There's a lot of it coming in. That technology is not getting put back in the bottle. The problem with things like her funds is that she's making huge bets on long time frames, and some of those companies may not even exist in 5 years, no matter how good they are today, because that's how disruptive the new entries into this economy are these days. So you never know, which is why her fund can be up so much and then down so much just year to year, because that's the way it works. That's the way it's cycling through right now.
We were talking about hindsight capital in the last segment, and in spite of this year's losses, she still has money coming into her funds. People are looking at the returns that she's made in recent years and saying, I want some of those.
That's called a true believer. That's a true
that's
believer.
Right.
We're just going to keep pumping the money in. And I believe we're going to have a break here, Don. We're right at the bottom of the hour. Time for us to get out here. We will return to continue our conversation about big tech, the turnover that's going on in the market, and what's going on out there right now today. If you'd like to get our email newsletter, we have one that goes out every Monday, most Mondays anyway, Week in Review. If you'd like to start receiving that, send us an email to help@iriradio.com. That's help@iriradio.com. Just put Week in Review in the subject line, and we need your first and last name in the body of the email, and you will begin receiving that this Monday. You are listening to Investor Resources here on AM 770 KTTH. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Raindrops are falling on my head. They keep falling. But there's one thing I know. The blues they send to meet me.
Yeah, the blues. After this last week, there are probably a lot of people had the blues.
That's a tough week. Yep.
Reviewing their portfolio. We're talking about large cap stocks that have crashed. There's a bunch of them that are down at least 50%. And in the last segment, you're saying a lot of the damage in the market right now is happening because of names that everybody's familiar with. And part of this is actually made worse because the S&P 500 board who picks what stocks are going to be in the index,
right,
I think was feeling left out because they didn't have much technology and they were being viewed as, well, that's the old world.
They've been passed by, right.
So the board decided to include a lot of the major stocks that are in the NASDAQ 100, which with them collapsing makes the value portion of the S&P 500 less significant. So we just take a look at a couple of these stocks. Zoom Video. Now, a lot of people didn't know who Zoom was until COVID came around.
And then everyone's been on a Zoom meeting since. That's right. And has not seen a Zoom meeting.
So from its 52-week high, it's only down 76%. And if you were doing business with anybody during COVID, you were probably had to learn how to use DocuSign, digital document signatures. High demand for that product. It's from its 52-week high. It's only down 73%. There's a winner. And then you have PayPal. If you've been shopping online, the odds are you use PayPal. It's down 73%. Netflix is down almost 72%. Moderna, very likely you know about Moderna because you got a vaccination or you were at least solicited by the government for a vaccination. So Moderna is down 71%. And then Facebook, the company that now owns it, Meta, is it's a winner. It's only down 53%.
I mean, those are gigantic losses. When you step back from that for a second, I mean, those are huge, huge losses in big, well-known companies, and they're still just taking this enormous hit. It's amazing what's going on.
And the standard practice is, well, they'll turn around.
Just ignore that. Yeah, nothing going on here. Three quarters of the value of the company you invested in just evaporated. Well, we're going to do nothing. That just it's just hard to believe that that is the way, the standard business model of so many brokers out there, but it is.
So we will be discussing what's developing with all this stuff or what transpires over this next week when we do our monthly stock market update webinar. You can register for that at IRIRadio.com. That's IRIRadio.com. Lower left-hand corner, a couple of clicks, email and name, and you'll get a link to join the webinar. If you cannot join us live, where there will be time, plenty of time to answer questions that you may have, or you can send questions in advance. But if you can't listen live, can't participate live, you'll get a link for the replay once the recording's been processed by GoToMeeting, or it's now called Log Me In. But that is that's a real resource that you will learn more about the stock market watching these webinars than most webinars that you're going to pick up in the financial arena, because most of them are just telling you, well, diversify and buy and hold. You know, you just own a bunch of different things, and over time they all kind of balance out. Well, except unless you own bonds, which are not balancing out your risk very well right now.
Not one bit. No, that's not working at all.
So since 1980, 81, Paul Volcker's change of the Fed finally kicked in, and interest rates and inflation, which is why he raised interest rates aggressively, rates and inflation began to fall. And bonds and interest rates work like a teeter-totter. When interest rates are falling, the value on the other end of the teeter-totter rises. So when stocks have dropped over the last 40 years, more often than not, bonds have risen. Maybe not enough to completely offset the stock decline, but they've softened the blow.
Just dampen things down a little bit. That was kind of their job.
So as you say, I don't want to lose money, or I'm getting older, then the standard process is, well, you need more bonds. Yeah, we're going to increase your bond allocation. And that's just the way it's going to be. The older you get, the more bonds we're going to give you, because interest rates have fallen for 40 years, and we think they'll fall for another 40 years from zero. But, you know, who wants to argue about that?
We're not looking forward. We're only looking backwards. That's their point of view. They have fallen. So that's what gets into your portfolio. It doesn't matter what we think might happen. That doesn't get in your portfolio. We're just going to say they did fall for all those decades. We're buying a bunch.
So as of Thursday, the Barclays aggregate bond index, which invests in treasuries, corporates of different maturities and different credit quality, including some junk bonds. As of Thursday, the bond index and the stock market, S&P 500, were both negative about 10%.
Yeah.
So there's your safety valve has lost just as much as your risk investments. Yeah, explain that one to me. I'm missing the impact here. But as of Friday, and if you were watching the market on Friday, you know it was an exciting day. So the year-to-date number for the aggregate bond as of Friday is a minus 983, And your stock market's a minus, S&P 500's a minus 13. But if you were in tech, it's a minus 21.
Ouch. Yep.
Bonds haven't provided a lot of safety because interest rates aren't falling anymore. And if you haven't listened to the news, the Federal Reserve Bank is expected to raise interest rates over the next 2 years. So remember the teeter-totter. Falling rates, good for bonds. What's the corollary? Rising rates, bad for bonds. And yet, that's your safety valve. You're supposed to be managing risk by putting more bonds in your portfolio in an environment where it is mathematically impossible for them to gain value because interest rates are rising. It's not a supply demand like in the stock market. It is a mathematic calculation that when interest rates rise, your bond value sinks. Now, if it's not bad enough that you're using bonds, your financial advisor is telling you to use bonds in your portfolio for safety reasons, you go in for your semi-periodic review, and he says, oh, by the way, you're older. We should put more bonds in your portfolio, and you should be saying, what are you
doing?
I'm out of here.
I've got to go. But that's exactly the formula they use. The older you get, in their view, you need more safety. And in their view, more safety means more bonds. It doesn't matter that the nature of the bond market has shifted completely from what was going on. And it's not going back anytime soon. So we can look at that and know we're going to have some weakness in the bond market for an extended period of time. And as you headed further into retirement, they want to load you up with more and more of this asset class, which is not going to provide any safety for your portfolio, but they're going to pretend like it does because the 40-year trailing numbers say it's a good idea. Forget about what's going on today and forget about what might go on next year. We're just looking at those 40-year trailing returns, and we're going to load you up with bonds. That's pretty dangerous for someone's portfolio.
But that is the industry standard. And so what do you do? Well, I mean, you have to do something differently, or you're going to end up owning a lot of bonds in a rising rate environment. We don't own any bonds. We have owned bonds over the last several years when interest rates were dropping. But when they quit dropping and they go back up, they don't make any sense. So we take them out of the portfolio. That's one thing that standard practices just don't think can be done, except that's the way money's been managed for 200 years. When things aren't working, they come out of the portfolio. And when mutual funds have restrictions. They have, if you have a growth fund, invest in growth stocks, it can't go to cash and it can't sell all of its Google or Apple or Amazon or Facebook. It just has to tolerate the losses that come with it. What they can do is reduce their exposure. So they do make that decision that say, good news is gone. Time to cut back to our minimum exposure and then just suffer and gut it out. That will happen. Then they'll go buy value, for instance. But value's losing at the same time. It's just not losing as fast. What you have to have, in our opinion, and why we don't use modern portfolio theory anymore after we figured this out, is we just sell the stuff that's not working and hold cash until the situation improves. We have a process to make decisions. We don't bet on the future.
And it really is that simple, folks. It really is. You watch the prices. You watch what's going on. That doesn't mean our portfolios never go down. They do. We're never so ahead of the curve that we never clip a market drawdown. We do. But we're going to make an adjustment to that quickly, whereas the pie chart portfolio people are never going to make that adjustment. That's the difference. If we're wrong, we correct it as quickly as we can. If they're wrong, they just wait however many years it takes for the market to figure itself out. And that can make a huge difference in the amount of money left in your portfolio, especially if you're already in retirement. That's too much risk to expose yourself to say, well, in 15 years, this might be okay, so I'm just going to wait. That doesn't work when you're already in retirement. You just can't afford that. And we are right up against our last break of the afternoon here. I'd like to remind everyone that next Saturday, May 7th at 9 a.m., we're going to have our next market update. And you can register for that by going to IRIradio.com. That's IRIradio.com. Just go to the webinar page, click that registration link. You'll get a link back. And next Saturday morning, just click that link and you will be live online with us. We're going to give you our best take on what's going on, a little bit about what we're doing with our clients' money, and we always have plenty of time to answer your questions about what you need to know about your portfolio or even individual holdings. It's a great time to get a second opinion. Again, you can register for that at IRIradio.com. If you want to talk to us this afternoon, we have plenty of time to get your call on the board. Give us a call at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Well, that's only the strong survive. That's true whether you're talking about business, life, the market, sports. You have to be strong.
True. Yeah.
Because everybody's going to get knocked down sooner or later. You got to be strong enough to get up on your feet and take another run at your future. And we've had some really bad news about what's going on in the market this last week and actually so far this year. It's just been an extension of an ailing market for the last several years that's been masked by Wall Street basically manipulating some really big names that people like to make the indexes look good while they were hoping the rest of the market might finally find their legs and get up and start doing better. And that hasn't happened yet. Yeah, but we may be pretty close to that. One of the other things that's really looks like it's bad news is the American Association of Independent Investor Survey, which they do regularly. And right now it is at almost an all-time low. Actually, the number that I'm looking in front of me is the lowest it's been as far as bearish concerns since 1990. That's a long time ago.
Yes, it is.
In the market. But the good news is that that's really a contrarian indicator. When everybody says it can't get worse, that's usually fairly close to the bottom. Now, it does not mean that 3, 6, 9 months out, we're going to be back in a roaring bull market. But it does indicate that we're probably close to the bottom of the really bad news and things will gradually get better. Part of the issue with regard to bonds is, are we going to have inflation like the 70s? Some prognosticators say so. Others say, no, before we get there, the Fed will cave and quit doing what they say they're going to do, and it'll put some money back into the economy, and things will resume with a higher inflation rate. Well, if it, and the assumption is that the 2% target inflation rate will be raised. And frankly, if it gets raised to 4, this bond market model that most people use is dead.
It won't survive a
4 core rate.
Can't do it. And you know, especially when the returns are still so low, and inflation is, you know, they always say, that's the silent killer of portfolios. Everything just continues to get more and more expensive all around you. And it's easy to try to massage that number, which the government does regularly. But everyone who's a consumer knows how much prices are going up. And that really does put the brakes on an economy and a market eventually.
And most people's portfolios just simply don't adapt. I mean, inflation, yeah the Fed's going to cancel inflation. Well, maybe, maybe not. They don't want a recession. We know that. But the Fed has never, and I use that word cautiously, the Fed has never, N-E-V-E-R, raised rates significantly and not caused a recession.
And this time that's not an opinion. That's a fact. You can go back and look that up. That is the truth. And so here we go again.
This time's different.
Yeah.
They have it figured out.
Yeah.
Well, they're using a new model. Well, the new model also told them for the last 2 years that inflation was transitory it wasn't a problem.
Which we heard from them a great deal. Don't worry about this. It's all fine. And then it kept getting worse and worse. And then the news got bad enough that it was like, wow, even if this is transitory, we're talking about years for it to clear up, not 6 months. So now we're looking much further down the line, and we're going to have to stop using that transitory word. And they did. They stopped, and they actually started raising rates, and they're going to have to continue that because this inflationary phase, we're right at the start of it. We haven't even seen how bad it might get going forward.
So what's been happening is that a lot of people have been abandoning the bond market. They've been selling bonds. As far as bond funds are concerned, there's been an outflow of investor capital, but it has ignored the risk in the stock market. It's been continuing to buy the dip.
Right.
Buy the dip. Prices are lower. I'm going to sell my bonds. I'm going to buy the dip without considering what are the risks that are going on in the stock market, and is this a dip that from which we're going to bounce and move on to new highs, or is this a dip that gives us a bear market rally and finds new lows as happened on Friday?
Makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. And right now, no one has any way of knowing what's going on right now. Is this a little consolidation, or is this just a little pause that's going to refresh the market and everything's going to take off? Or is this the beginning of a significant drawdown? We don't know. No one knows that. No one knows how it's going to play out. But if you make that big bet, then you're all in, and you are probably not going to make any adjustments, which is why we wait a little bit, we watch, we follow the trend, we try to follow the money, and look for the strength in the market. And when there's not any, just head for the sidelines for a little bit and wait for some clarity to come into the market, because that'll happen, but we don't know when that'll happen either.
So, again, if you're a longtime listener, you know I like Western movies, and what comes to mind is the Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And that's kind of the market that we're in right now. I mean, the good is we had a rally of 100 points on the S&P the other day, and then the bad is it got wiped out and then some the next day.
Yeah.
And then we find Netflix gets pummeled by 100-plus points last week. Amazon took a beating. Their shares are down 350 points.
There's plenty of ugly. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. So there is some positive, not strong, but some positive shift in what's called momentum. But the number of stocks that continue to be in negative trends remains really big. And that has to correct before we're going to see some healthy improvement in the overall market and portfolios, unless your process adapts to that. And we don't know where we're going to be at the end of next week, but right now, all three of our primary models are heavy in cash. I mean, there's just, which means all this bad news that happened this last week had either no or very little impact on those portfolios.
Correct.
Well, we aren't sitting around holding something and saying, well, it's really a good company. It's going to do fine. You know, they've got a good product and they've got good market share, and China will open up its economy. I'll be able to sell more stuff next year.
You know, we're doing the opposite of that. Last week on Thursday, when the market took off and everything was rocketing highward, we're looking at everything, looking around and saying, you know what? Even a great day like this, one great day, nothing changed. Everything's still in negative trends. There's nothing out there worth buying, and so we stay away. And then on Friday, the bottom just fell out again. And but like you said, now we don't know how it goes going forward. You just have to pay attention. You have to keep watching the prices and see what's going on there, and be ready to adapt. And that's the key. Don't just sit still and let the market roll over you, because it will.
So one of the benchmarks we use is cash. We don't like to own things that are generating returns below cash.
Correct.
Now, if you own cash, you're stable, right? That holds, may not hold purchasing power, but at least your portfolio is not sinking. So the cash is a benchmark. In the dynamic portfolio on Thursday, we're looking at that rally and saying, where's the strength? What is in, we've got cash, what can we buy? So in the portfolio that I run, there's 376 different exchange-traded funds that are the universe that we operate on. And cash was number 45 on Thursday. And so you say, okay, so let's look at all the stuff above cash. These are the things that are making money. What are they? Well, most of them were inverse funds, which means they were funds that were going to gain if the market continued to lose. And then there were some commodity funds. And then, so we have other criteria. You have to look at them and see, is there enough activity in them that we could actually buy them and not pay a premium? And a lot of those funds don't have a lot of volume in them. I mean,
so it makes it hard to get out. You can get in, but it's really tough to get out without getting a huge spread when you're trying to sell.
So that's just part of process and rules. How do you make that decision? And if there's nothing attractive to buy, why are you holding stuff that isn't working for you?
And if you're looking at the stuff that's working and most of it's inverse, meaning it's going to make money if the market is dropping, that's not a bullish signal. That means this is still an incredibly weak market, and there's much, much more likelihood that this market's got more downside left than this is the bottom and it's about to turn. And again, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know. That's just the likelihood. So it puts us in a better position to make a better decision when we're looking at the list of funds we have.
So when one of the bumps that we run in our show is risk management is important. You got to pay attention to this all the time. And if you're running, if you own a balanced portfolio, 60-40 stocks and bonds, you don't have risk management.
None.
You have an academic theory that over a 100-year-plus period, this looks like it'll work. And if that's your time frame, well, good luck. But none of the clients that we have right. have a 100-year high time frame, yeah. and they don't want to wait 50 or 100 or 150 years to find out if it was right. And not everything that's even in shortage, it does well. And semiconductors are a classic case of that. I mean, the auto industry, the appliance industry, they are short semiconductor chips.
Yep.
And
neither can't get them. Yep.
They can't get them, and the prices are still poor. Well, there's some that are doing well, but the semiconductor industry continues to suck wind. It is a place that if you've been investing in it, the odds are really hard to have been making money. We're up to the end of our show. We are going about ready to go unlive, but you want to talk to us during the week, it's 800-317-9119. Register for next Saturday's webinar. IRIradio.com. We're out of time. God bless you, your family, and the United States of America. Have a great weekend.